and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Every 60 days, the cells in our human body is renewed. Every 60 days, our cells are renewed, and that keeps the human body alive. The concept of home cells, it's so critical that without it, the church dies. And no matter how mega a church may be, without caring, compassion, love demonstrated, extended to the members of the body, without a sense of belonging, people begin to die and they wither away as individuals. As never before, we need to activate the cell concept. You can't live on old cells. You need new cells to be alive. And that's why we need to bring in new people into the church. We can't depend on just the old folks. And we can't allow the old folks to kill or to stop or to block the new people from coming in. We need change. We need new cells. We need to grow the church. We need to create an atmosphere conducive for harvest, increase, and growth. We need to move away from selfish mentality and attitude to selfless mentality and attitude. We need to understand and realize that God is not in the business of blessing you and I for us or for our immediate family. It's about his church. It's about his kingdom. It's about people. It is always about people. It will always be about people. From the day you die till the day you check out of planet Earth, you will always connect and need people. When children are born, people gather. When they are dedicated, people gather. When we marry, people gather. When men and women pass, people gather. People are the most important commodity on earth to God. God cares about people than money and material things. We need to come to the realization that people means everything than anything. People. And therefore, we have to begin to go beyond ourselves to care for people, love people, show compassion to people. Be there for people, not for trees. I want to dedicate a land yesterday, and as I stood in the area, I saw this beautiful, huge building. And in that house was a mosque. And I said to somebody, I said, the Jews, when they build their homes, they build a synagogue. Other religions, they build a temple for their God. They take their beliefs and their God to the marketplace. Christianity is the only religion where our religion is in the church on Sunday morning. And after Sunday morning, we don't take our religion to the marketplace. And when we're building a house, we have plans to build a garage for even our cars. But we never plan and tell the architect, I need a place of prayer in my house. A meeting place with God. We even plan for our cars, but we have no plan for a meeting place with God. May I suggest to you from henceforth, instead of planning to build a garage in your house, can you build a meeting place with God in your house, where you and your family and your loved ones, your friends in the community can come and serve and pray and worship God? Your house. Some religion, like the Chinese Buddha, when you go to eat in their various restaurants, they serve their God first before they serve you and I. And you go in there, you see their God is right in there. They introduce you to their God. In restaurant in many parts of the world, same. They show forth their God. They demonstrate their God. For us, for whatever reason, it looks like we are ashamed of who we are. We can't tell the story of redemption. And we can't sell our God and our religion for whatsoever reason, I don't understand. We need to get back to demonstrating, telling this redemption story to our world. There is an increase coming. There is a harvest coming that one person cannot handle. There's a blessing and a growth and a breakthrough coming that will blow all of our minds. God never intended from the beginning of time that we should be alone. And God never intended to bless you and I for us. It has never been for us. It's always about people, His church. Please have that in mind, because there is a wave coming, and God will take from one and give to another who cares for more than himself. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 18th to the 21st verse. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 18th to the 21st verse.
But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleased him.
Please turn to somebody and say, he pleased God for you to be here. God is pleased. God is pleased to have you here. And please hear me. You are not here by mistake. Turn to somebody and say, you are not here by accident. You are not here by accident. You didn't come here because you wanted to be here. You are summoned to be here. You are here by divine providence. You alone, you won't be here, but God subpoenaed you. He set you up to be here, and he's pleased with you being here. You're planted. For those that are planted in the house of our God shall flourish in the courts of our God. You can't flourish unless you're planted. Please be planted and you flourish. Because when you are planted, you are steadfast, you are movable, nothing moves you, nothing shakes you. You are like the cedar of Lebanon and like the palm tree. The wind blows and can hit upon you, and you turn a little bit and come back into place. Tell somebody, I'm unmovable. Tell somebody, I got issues. Tell somebody, I'm struggling through some things. I'm dealing with some issues, but I'm planted. I'm planted. I got some issues, but I'm planted. I don't like everything I see, but I'm planted. I don't feel love sometimes, but I'm planted. I don't get it all right, but I'm planted. I'm planted. Go ahead.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body?
We are many members, but we are still one. There are different parts of this thing called body, this vehicle of mine. We have different organs, from the kidney to the liver to the lungs, and it got different members. And everyone is necessary for the perfect workings and wholeness and health of this body. You may not believe me, but you need me. And I need you. You know, we were never made to be an island all to ourselves. We are made to be interdependent. So you will need me, and I'll need you. I need you. You may not realize that. You know, we are the only religion, when people get blessed and get power, money, suddenly we become isolated, and we stay away from each other because we become blessed. We are the only folks, when we get blessed in our religion, we are different from everybody else. In other religions, they all pray together. It doesn't matter what car you have, what level you are, we do it all together. We are the only religion. Some of you in the choir, if you get $1 million right now, you resign from the choir. If you get 10 million, you backslide. It's very sad. I've been preaching for 40 years, and I find out when people don't have anything, they are very committed, very loyal. As soon as they have money, they change, they backslide. They don't pray anymore. They don't read their Bible. Men get money, they start mishandling their wife, calling them all kinds of names. Ajua! Where's my food? You didn't marry a cook. You married a wife. There are women, when they start making money than the man, they start disrespecting the man. When you are controlled by material things, something is wrong with you. You are sick. Talking to the richest black woman in the world. She was in my house 2 weeks ago. We're having lunch with the first lady and a lot of people, Alakija. And she said something very interesting. She said, the money that will change me and makes me mishandle and despise human beings, I've told God he shouldn't give me that money. I don't want it. And that touched me a lot. But for us, money and position and fame and gift can change us. You start misbehaving. You look down on people. We have communion service tonight. There are people who never come to communion once a month because they are too important. They are busy. They are very busy. They got to see somebody tonight. As well as some of them, they have lunch with the president. As well as they have breakfast with the president of America and lunch with the prime minister of Britain because they have a private jet. And dinner with the Sheikh of Dubai. So they don't have time for communion. They despise the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ. They are too busy. I pity you. A day will come in your life and you will need somebody. And you see, let me tell you something. On that day, your money won't save you. You see, the relationship you build today will fight for you tomorrow. There was a situation and somebody came to ask me from National Security the other day about somebody. He comes to this church. And he said, can you recommend him? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, what do you know about him? And I said, he comes to church. I said, he's a member of the church. I see, he comes to church. But that is all I know. I don't know what he does. I don't know where he lives. I don't know anything about his family. I cannot recommend him. Because he's not committed to anything. Young man, very, very blessed. See him with new cars every Sunday. I don't know what he does. My reputation is 40 years. I'm not putting it on the line for you. So I said to the man, what's the problem? Why? And he said, oh, somebody told us that he comes to your church. He's under investigation. He's on our radar. We are, and we want to know from you what you have to say about him. I said, nothing. I said, nothing to say. You know why? He's not involved in anything. He's not involved in anything. If he's involved with the home cells or the drug rehab or the orphanage, I'll tell them. I said, he's a very serious guy. He's very committed. There are people like that. I've stood for them. When Fred Owari had his problem in the times of President Rawlings, I went to President Rawlings. Direct, I went to President Rawlings. I went to Vice President Professor Mills in those days. I went straight to them. I went to Serious Fraud, and I met with Sapati and Kujo then. And I said, this man is innocent. And President Rawlings said, the dossier on him is very bad. And I say, I know, they've set him up. It's not true. I know the family very well. I know his wife, she's my daughter. This man is innocent. He said, can you vouch for me? I said, I can vouch for him. Call the vice president, call the then minister of Obeta Samoa, and said, the bishop said the man is innocent. And they asked me, they said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. I walked to Serious Fraud, and I said, you people are crucifying an innocent man, and God will ask his blood from you if you kill this man. I put it right on them. And I wasn't playing. And the media came after me. People in this church left because they thought the man was not innocent. And I said, you can leave. I'll vouch for him. The man is innocent. They were in court for over 4 years. And after 4 years of lies of the brigades of liars, the man that was prosecuting him confessed before the judge that he was commanded to frame. That was how I was vindicated. Before then, people looked at me like something was wrong with me. And when President Kufuor came, I went to President Kufuor and I said, this man is innocent. And if the state don't do something, I will mobilize the Christian community. We will demonstrate and march to the castle for justice. I can do that for people who are part of the body. But there are other people who don't get involved. All they do is chase money, chase money, chase money, chase money. I'll pray for you. but I won't fight for you because I don't know you. Turn to somebody and say, why you look at me that way? Okay, let's finish quickly.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Mm-hmm. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Tell somebody, everybody needs somebody. Okay, let's run through our scriptures quickly. Genesis 1:26. Let's look at some few scriptures quickly.
And God said, let us make man in our image.
God what?
Said, let us.
God said, let me. But let who?
Us.
So God believes in togetherness. Synergy. It's a pattern that works with God. God believes in togetherness. Stop being an individual. The greatest tragedy of the strongest man that ever lived, Samson, was his strength and his gift, not his weakness. It was his strength that killed him, not his weakness. He was so strong, so gifted, that he believed in himself and did not believe in relationship and in anything but himself. And he died prematurely, all by himself, all alone, and died with his enemies. I don't want to go down alone. And I don't want to go all by myself. God never intended that it should be that way. And I am not going prematurely. I'm going to be here for a long time. So don't even dream those your dream. Don't even imagine it. It will backfire. Don't think it. If ever you dream and you see a casket relating to me, it's not me, it's you. I haven't made any provision for that. Let it backfire in the name of Jesus. So God said, let us. Here is Almighty God. He possesses all powers. And God said, let us. He didn't say, let me. Let us. Together, we stand. Divided, we fall. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12.
Two are better than one.
One is better than one. Is that what he says?
No.
But what?
Two are better
than one.
Tell
somebody, you need somebody. You need another. You need another. You need somebody. And I don't care what your philosophy is. I know a lot of you have reasons why you don't believe in two. You have problems of trust, fear, insecurity, offense, hurt, envy, jealousy. You don't want to be bothered, and you don't want to bother anybody. You just want to be yourself, and your principle is privacy. Don't trust anybody, all by yourself. But the word says two is better than one. God is wiser than you and I. And I'd rather go God's way against all my beliefs. Two is better than one. Go ahead.
Because they have a good reward for their labor. Mm-hmm. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Very true, self-explanatory. A few weeks ago, a sister in the choir was going home after choir practice, three of them. And from nowhere came somebody, stabbed her at the back with a knife, pushed the dagger through her, and took her bag and ran away, and left her bleeding to death. And she was with two others who held her, cried for help, carried her to the hospital, and quickly saved her life. If she was all alone, she would have fallen, bled to death before anybody could come around. Turn to somebody and say, know something? I need you. And you need me. You may not need me right now because I don't look like anybody right now. But one of these days, you will need me. So be my friend now. Be my friend now. You know, don't burn bridges. Don't burn bridges. Time changes, eh? Time changes. You saw when NDC left and MPP came? The people that are reigning right now for whatever you call it, and join right now and have access to the big man right now, are those who were with him when nobody wanted to deal with him. And if people knew and had advanced knowledge that he would have become president, they would have aligned themselves with him. Time changes. It's only faith in God that is relevant at all times. But time changes. You hear me? So don't trust too much in your money. Build relationships. Build bridges. Be nice to people. Care about people. Love people. Because you never know who you need tomorrow. You need somebody. And sometimes people don't look like they are going anywhere. They look very insignificant. But you never know who they'll become tomorrow. I'm telling you. Tell somebody, take a very good care. Take a look. Take a very good look at me. Take a very look good. Tell somebody, you know something? You better have a relationship with me. Because right now, I don't look like anything. But there is a metamorphosis going on. One of these days, I'm just going to blow up. Suddenly. And I'll be there for you if you build a relationship with me now. The Bible says, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither has entered the hearts of men what God has planned for those who love him. You never know. I'm telling you. When General Obasanjo came out of prison and came here, I was with him with Tunde Edu praying. And then from there we went to Honorable Ken Oforiates, our Minister of Finance at that time, and prayed for him and his family. And we went to Golden Tulip. And whilst we were praying, I saw him lifted up. And I said, General, do you have any plan for politics? He said, no, I'm going to stay in Ota and take care of my farm. I don't want anything to do with politics anymore. And he said, why? And I said, you are going back to power. He said, how can it happen? I said, watch God. 6 months after, I was invited to Lagos to speak at a conference by Dr. Maurice Rello. 7,000 leaders from all over Africa. Bishop Nyakum was me. I finished preaching and I was going to sit down. Then the voice of the Lord echoed and said, take the microphone. Declare that General Obasanjo Olusegun shall be the next president of Nigeria. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't disobeying God. I was afraid. Because Abubakar was then the head of state of Nigeria. It was a military rule. There was a ban on party politics. And I said, God, you live in heaven. You don't live here in time. So you are telling me to do something that can put me in danger. I can't do it. And the Lord said, you are afraid. And I said, yes, I'm afraid. And he said, but I haven't given you the spirit of fear. So I called Dr. Nyaku and said, Bishop, I whispered, I said, go to Sheraton, check me out, meet me at the airport. Then he said, what are you going to do? I said, don't worry, just go, pray for me. And I said, everybody hold your hands. Turn your hands, God is going to move. And when they blocked everybody, because the security people, they are always sitting among us. Some are there right now. Tell to somebody and say, are you from National Security? They are here. They listen to all the sermons. That is their job, so leave them alone. That is what they do. So anyway, when your church grows over 1,000, you are a security risk. So they have to watch you. Because politics is numbers. So I learned that long time ago. When I got into trouble, then I find out. Anyway, so I told them, I said, that says the Lord, General Obasanjo Olusegun shall be the next president of the Republic of Nigeria. Let us pray. Everybody was quiet. I gave the microphone to the MC. I said, brother, the anointing of God is on you. He took the microphone. He was looking at me some way. What is wrong with this man? I went through the back door. I told the driver, spark the car. Drive. Break all the rules. Take me to Murtala Mohammed International Airport. I got there. There was only one seat on Lufthansa to Accra. I took it. Dr. Nyaku said, how about me? I said, you, nobody cares about you. You are the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. Nobody wants you. Everybody loves you. I am the troublemaker. Jump on the flight. Left my suitcase. Everything. Came to Ghana. Then Femi Fanikayo, they call me and say, Papa, that is a bad prophecy. You will never preach in Nigeria again. That prophecy will never come to pass. Tunde Bakari went on national television and said, "Is Obasanjo become president? Let God kill him, his wife, and his children." And some people call me and say, "What do you think?" And I said, "Tunde Bakari is my brother. I prophesied over him years when he was a lawyer before he became a minister of the gospel. So I'm not going to fight my brother. There's no fight on this. Let the will of God be done." Obasanjo became president. I didn't go there for the inauguration. I did not go. Second term, I was in America, and the Lord said, "Go to Aso Rock and tell him he'll go to another term." When I got there in Gozi, everybody was there. It was a very big prayer meeting. I walk in there and he said, "Archbishop, it's good to see. What is the Lord saying?" I said, "After prayer, we'll talk." After prayer, he held my hand and said, "Let's go to my bedroom." We went to his bed and said, "What is the Lord saying?" I said, "You are going a second term." He said, "You sure?" I said, "Declare it." He came out and he called his people, the media, and he said he declared he's going a second term. And the Lord said, "Get out of town." So I flew out. Immediately, I left. Some of my friends said, "Ask him for an oil block." And the Lord said, "Don't ask for anything. My voice is not for sale." Mark chapter 6, verse 7.
"And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits."
He sent them how many?
Two by two.
One by one. By what? It's a principle. Matthew 18 and 20. Matthew 18 and 20.
"For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them."
For when one and one are gathered, by what? Two and are what? I am there. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Acts 13 and 2.
"As they ministered to the Lord
and fasted."
"And fasted, the Holy Ghost said,
Separate
me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them."
Separate me, Saul. Separate me, Barnabas. By separate me, how many? Two. Two. Say two. Not one. Two. Two is better than one. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23.
"And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them."
They went to their own what?
Company.
They went to their own what?
Company.
There are a lot of you in this house. You don't belong anywhere. You don't belong to any group. You're a woman. You don't belong to the women's fellowship. You don't belong to anything. You are not part of anything. You are all by yourself, and you can die and nobody will know. Before Easter, one of my brothers died in the U.S. He died in his room. He had left church. The pastors have tried to reach him, call him. He won't respond. And he was ill and died. Easter Friday, Sunday, Saturday, all over. Nobody could find him. Later, they went to his room and found him dead in his room. If he was part of the body, that couldn't have happened. Somebody would have detected it. Somebody would have had a dream. Somebody would have felt something. When you are part of the body, it's difficult for the enemy to take you. But when you are all alone, the enemy can strike you and pull you out, and nobody is there to help you. They went to their own company. Many years ago, when we began, we had a student hostel. We were a small fellowship, and I was trying to join this very powerful organization for a covering. And there was this guy, very, very powerful man of God. He blocked me and said, "No, we can't have you. You are too small. You can't come on board." And I went back to the church on a Saturday, and I was very heavy at heart. And I told the church what has happened. And I told the church, "Let us pray." So we lifted prayer before God that God will make a way for us. On Sunday after church, I went to Elder Saki of blessed memory, and I told him what happened. And I said, "This man blocked me, and I don't know what to do." And Saki said to me, "Don't worry about it. He's in the mortuary. He died last night." I felt so bad about the prayers, but I didn't pray for him to die. I just prayed that God will remove every obstacle and will make a way for us. As soon as he passed, I was invited and accepted. May nothing block and hinder the plan of God for your life. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 7. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 7.
"Now when he had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink.
Can you imagine this? I'm telling you something. Can I prophesy to you? Can I prophesy to you? Don't worry, very soon I'll be preaching to you again. I think since we began this end time signs and all that, I really preach to you. And then after that, we are doing this cell thing. But I have a very powerful message that I'm hatching. And I'll preach it to you one of these days. It will blow you apart. But hear me. Here was Peter. And this is the prophecy. There is coming a blessing that says Elohim. Bigger than you have ever known before. It's huge. It's a harvest of all times like you have never had and known before. And this blessing is not designed for you and your family only. It's a blessing designed for the benefit of the church and the benefit of others and the benefit of generations yet unborn. That says the Lord. As long as you will use it for families, his church, and for the benefit of humanity, that you will increase and keep increasing and keep increasing, and your light and your way will be brighter and brighter and brighter, as the scriptures have declared, unto a perfect day. As long as you are selfless about it, you will never lose it. But says the Lord, those who will become selfish and hold on to it themselves will drown and disappear from the face of the earth, because it was never meant to be just for you and your family. Give God some praise and be seated. Hear me? So Peter came into a major breakthrough. Great harvest after many years of scarcity. Many years of scarcity and need and struggle. Many years of want and not having enough. Suddenly, there is coming a suddenly. This particular thing, it's not how hard you work for it. It's not your connections that will bring it about. It's just going to be one major breakthrough, and it will be a chain reaction, that everything you touch will become mega and will become big and will become a blessing. It is in the pipeline. I can smell it. I can see it. It's in the horizon. Somebody shout and say, do, oh Lord. Is coming for the benefit of the church, to people who will not hold back what is due the house of God and give excuses why they can't give to God what is due him. But watch this, hear me. Peter, after many years of struggle and touring all night and having nothing, suddenly came into plenty and into abundance, and his net began to break. Then he realized that this blessing is not for me only. I haven't developed capacity to handle this thing. It's too big. I got to open it up for others to come in. Tell somebody, open it up, open it up, open it up. Tell somebody, let others in, let others in, let others in. You see, one of the things about the Lebanese and the Indians and some of these other nationals, you can criticize them, but when they come in and they find something good, they open it up to their people. When another Lebanese comes into town, they show them the way and how to succeed. They come with nothing. Suddenly, they have a small shop, and the shop becomes something bigger, and they are also enjoying. The Indians saying, Ghanaians, we are not like that. We will expose. You know, I was in Amsterdam, and they put me in the presidential suite. And a lady came to clean the place. She was a Nigerian lady. And she said, Oga, I hear say you be big man from Ghana. And I said, by the grace of God. And she said, make you pray for the Ghananians. The Ghananians, they need a lot of prayer. So I said, what happened? He said, two Ghananians fought. And one of them went and told the authorities that all the Ghananians here, They don't have correct paper. So the authority came and ransacked everybody and deported everybody to Ghana. Two people fought. We have the gift of reporting one another. Ghanaians, especially when there is change of government. Hey, like this new government that has come, I'm praying for the president that God will give him a hearing ear. The amount of things he will hear, the people who go to national security, the people who will lie over everybody, they are dead. Some of these people were dead very long time ago. Suddenly, their bones came together in flesh and sinew, and they've resurrected from their grave, and they have a new ministry called the Ministry of Reporting. They are part of the Brigade of Liars, and they go around telling lies about everybody. This man, he used to be very close to the former president. This man, he fronts for the former minister of so and so. This one, he's a girlfriend of that minister. This one, he's this. And suddenly, you see them having money, driving cars. They are making it by a ministry of lies. Reporting. It's a new ministry called the Special Ministry of Reporting. Minister of Reporting. The commander of the Brigade of Liars. It's in this country. And they come every 4 years when there's a change of government. You say, how do I know? I've been here 40 years preaching. I know them. Every 4-8 years, they come on the scene. And they can sell a lie. They sell it. They package the lie and put perfumes on it. And you can smell spices on the lies. Let's move on. Tell somebody, I know you are not like that. You are a different Ghanaian. But until we become a people that cares and love and help one another and stop being selfish, this nation, with all the potential we have, is not going anywhere. I'm telling you. There are people who want the president to fail to prove a point, and has forgotten that if he fails, it affects Ghana and the economy of this country, and we will all suffer. And when you pray for him, why are you praying for him? As if you didn't pray for them. Very poor and bad mentality. You have to be very, very courageous to believe in your principle and your conviction. This country is some way. It's some way, pal. We are very, very, very evil people. You see the soldier, how they killed the soldier? And you are blaming the people who killed him. But those people are Ghanaians like you and I. It's Ghanaians. Don't blame them. That is who we are. We kill people secretly. Through jealousy, through envy, through hatred, through rumor mongering, through lies, through backbiting. We kill people every day. This is one of the times when it has come public and we are shocked. But every day we are killing people. And that's why foreigners come here and they do better than us, because we love our own than ourselves. We love strangers than our own. We have self-hatred. If a Ghanaian is selling a land and a Ghanaian and a Nigerian comes to buy the land, he will sell it to the Nigerian, because he doesn't want the Ghanaian to know he has the land. And if he gave it to the Ghanaian will also go and tell others, hey, you know who sold me the land? Osimasi. How did he get the land? Let's investigate him. So the Ghanaian will say, let me give it to a Nigerian, Ojari, who knows nothing about my family and my background. Tell somebody and say, who are we? Where did we come from? So the Ghanaian is always hiding. He doesn't want to show what he has. Okay, quickly, my time is up. Psalm 68, verse 11, my time is up. So let me just run through my scriptures and let you go home.
The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published
How
it.
Many were the company?
Great.
How many? Great was
the company
of those who
published it.
Proverbs 3, 5.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding.
You know something? Throw away your logic. Throw away your logic, your philosophy, your principle, your passion, and your conviction. Throw it away. Whatever logic or principle or philosophy you have, if it contradicts scripture, throw it away. Because God is wiser than you. And the earlier you realize and acknowledge the fact that God is wiser than you, the better life becomes for you. Stop arguing with God. He's wiser than you. Proverbs, okay, Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18, quickly.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him.
This is not just about marriage, but it's talking about being isolated, being alone. And it's in the name of privacy. I'm a very private person. It's a lie. Nobody is private. You are hurt about something. You have a trust issue. You are afraid of something. You have insecure issues. You are hiding something. There's nothing like I'm private. I'm a quiet person. Trouble can find you. So stop all that. The word of God is supreme. Amen. You need somebody. Proverbs 27 and 17. Proverbs 27 and 17.
Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Stone sharpeneth iron. Wood sharpeneth iron. But what? Iron sharpeneth. Turn to somebody and say, you are an iron. I am an iron. We sharpen each other. Say, an iron can't sharpen itself on its own. An iron needs an iron. You are an iron. I'm an iron. You need me. I need you to stay relevant. So let's get together. Put your hands together and give God some praise. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 2. Hebrews 13 and 2.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
We need homes and places for the cells, to have cells in every community so we can care for one another and reach our community for Christ. That's the only way we do it. Some of you, I encourage you to open your homes, open your doors for the brethren to come, for prayer meeting, for fellowship, for the studying of the word. Don't be afraid. Some of you, nobody knows where you live. You live in a community, nobody knows where you live. You are afraid, you don't want to open your homes for anybody, but open it up. When I moved to my house before I built, there was no prayer room, and I needed a prayer room. So I told the landlord, I have to convert the garage. So I converted the garage into my prayer room and park all the cars outside. When I built my house, I built a chapel before I moved in there. A chapel that can take 200 people in my house. And when you come and I'm not in the main room, I'm there, I'm firing. It's my meeting place. It's a very, very serious place. Are you hearing me, somebody? And it's very, very nice. And other religions, when they build, they make room for their religion and their God. We are the only religion when we build. We plan even for our cars, but we don't plan a prayer room and a meeting place with God. Can you start turning your garages into prayer rooms and park your cars outside and have a meeting place for God in your house? See, I hear you. Tap somebody and say, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. Tell somebody, take interest in what Papa is saying. Because it's a good principle. It's a good policy. Amen. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18, quickly.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
No fear in love. If you have love, true love of God, there's nothing to be afraid of. If you walk in the true love of God, you have nothing to be afraid of. Perfect love casted out all fear. Amen? Tell somebody, I see the love of God in you. I see the love of God. Where you see fear, love is not there. Fear replaces love, and love replaces fear. Genesis 4 and 9. Genesis 4 and 9.
And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
That is the attitude of all of us, or some of us. We are not our brother's keepers. We don't look out for our friends. We don't look out for others. We don't look out for our brothers. You sit in church and you don't see some faces for a long time, and you don't even go out of your way to find out, where is that brother? Where is that sister? Where is Osimasi? You live in the same community and you don't even know you live in the same community. We don't care for one another. People can disappear, leave this church, go to another place, sick, hurt, going through problems, and nobody knows. Through this cell system, we'll begin to know what's going on with you, what's happening to your family, your loved one. If anything is wrong, you don't have to reach me. You just call the shepherd, the cell leaders. We will know it. We will gather. We will surround you. We will be there for you. You have a sense of belonging and a sense of family, and you don't have to fight alone. If your husband is misbehaving, we'll come at him and beat him for you. If your wife is misbehaving, we'll call her to the Sanhedrin's and deal with her. No, seriously, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. But as long as your wife is dealing with you alone, she'll bully you. As long as your husband is dealing with you alone, he'll bully you. But if he knows that it's a whole community and they can't misbehave, if they do something, we call them for a meeting right now and say, Mommy, why? Madam, why? Why are you misbehaving? And say, Mister, why? What's your problem? But when people are alone, they misbehave and they can get away with things. But when we are together, you can't fool around. We'll call you to order. Are you clapping? I thought you were clapping. I thought so. Amen. Genesis 49 and 1. Genesis 49 and 1.
And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you.
Gather yourselves together. Say together.
Together.
Say, these are the days.
These are the days.
Of togetherness. Tell two people, these are the days of coming together. Coming together. Say, together. Together we stand, divided we fall. Together. Listen, turn to somebody and say, put aside your pride. You, put aside your pride. Put aside your policies, your attitude, your philosophy, your logic, and accept what the word of God is saying. God is wiser than you and I. So put aside your philosophy. God said, two is better than one. I believe it. I may disagree with God, but I believe and respect God. How many of you respect God? Are you sure? You respect God? Then accept what he's saying. Because the Bible is his word. Amen? Turn to someone and say, I accept. Okay, go ahead.
Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days.
Look at verse 2. That's verse 1. Look at verse 2.
Gather yourselves together.
Again, he said what?
Gather yourselves together.
Gather what?
Yourselves together.
Say to what? Together. Say it again. Say together. Say together. Together. Turn to somebody and say, I need you and you need me. Pinch somebody and say, why are you sleeping? Somebody don't want you to hear the word. You see, let me tell you something I found. When I was growing up in the things of God, anytime I pick my Bible to read, then I begin to feel asleep. Spirit of slumber comes upon me. I put my Bible down and I put on a movie and I'll stay awake. For hours watching the movie, somebody wants me to watch a movie, but somebody don't want me to read the Bible. There are some of you, the services you must attend to hear the word of God to deliver you, that Sunday you won't come to church. Either it will rain, something will happen, your business partner will come to town, there will be some emergency, and you will miss that service. And your problem will still be unanswered. I used to watch some movie, and they call it 24 Hours. The thing is very intense, and I like action movies. So they brought me all these movies, and the thing is so intense. I will move from my bed to the middle and come out and sit at the edge of my bed. And the thing can keep you in suspense. And one particular week, I didn't sleep for 3 days. I'm telling you, I was in the thing. And it kept me suspended, and I wanted to see the next, and it keeps you going. And after the third day, I looked at the thing and I said, no. Something is wrong. No, I confess. I said, this is addiction. I said, this is not right. Archbishop, you can't allow a movie to catch you like this. 3 days, I wasn't sleeping. Night and day, they brought my food. We ate. I stayed in my bedroom. And I said, this thing is demonic. So I prayed in tongues. Then I came against it. Then I bind it. And I placed injunction on it. And I said, from today, I deny you power. I deprive you your power. I stripped you of your power. I removed it and I packed it right there. It's still in my bedroom, opposite my bed. And I said to him, in the name of he who died and raised, laid in the grave and arose on the third day, your power over me is broken. I haven't watched it for 2 years. It's right there. I saw it last night. And I was telling one of my sons, I said, in life, you have to decide. You have to make a decision to be a free man, that you won't let anything have power over you. You won't let substance, you won't let sex, you won't let food, you won't let a movie, you won't let material things, you won't let money, you won't let anything have power over you. You have to be free. Say, I'm free. Say, I'm a free man. Say, I'm a free man. Say, thank God. Say, thank God Almighty. Free at last. You're free. You're free. I stopped watching it. Then another one came up recently. The name of that one is Scandal. Scandal. Real scandals. And I watched it some few times. Then I realized that the virus was trying to catch me. So I said, in the name of Jesus, that same demon, it switched from 24 to Scandal. I bind it in the name of Jesus. So right now, when she's watching it, I don't watch it. I just walk away. So babe, watch with me. I said, mm-mm, I ain't watching with you. You can't baby me on this one. It's not going to work. And you can look at me any way you want to look at me and say, Akwawe pa, this guy. There's nothing wrong with me. Oh, I'm just refusing to be a slave to anything. Because that scandal thing is very addictive. I'm telling you. It keeps you in sports and they never finish. Every Thursday, all over, the people gather. They look forward to it. And I say, me, I refuse to be looking forward to scandal. I'm looking forward to some breakthrough and blessing, not scandal. And I know you are all sitting here. You are acting like an angel, but something has a hold on you. I refuse to allow anything to have power over me. So I don't watch scandals. I don't watch it. When I go to America on Thursday, it comes on and everything. And my wife will say, babe, we got to get some popcorn. Scandal is coming on tonight. And I said, babe, I got a prayer meeting at that time. And she knows it's not true. But I will not sit down and watch scandals. Period. You can call me weird. You can call me, I'm over spiritual, old ragged cross. Call me any name. As long as it doesn't have power over me, I'm okay. I'm not going to compromise because of you. I won't do it. I'm a free man. Hear me. Real power. Christianity is self-control. Christianity is self-control. Christianity is mastering. Mastering your emotions, your passion, your longings, and all these cravings. You master it. Ice cream used to be another problem for me. Ice cream. Vanilla ice cream. I took authority in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I don't want it in my fridge. You are looking at me. I'm confessing my sins. You are sitting on yours. And you are acting like you are more righteous than me. Eh? And you know when you go to all these, even here, New Seasons, they are, what do you call it, dessert. Hey, super, very powerful. I tested one the other day, and the thing was too powerful, and I said to myself, you are lying, you won't get me. So I said to myself, okay, the New Seasons dessert is very healthy. So I said to myself, once in a week, I'll just let go my powers. Once in a week. Amen? But I'm just telling you that Christianity is self-control. It's self-control. You have to learn mastering. You know, somebody was telling me that these days the sisters, Papa, they dress some way and they expose themselves. And you have to deal with it. I said, it's not part of the preaching. I said, it's not part of the preaching. It's self-control. You see the sister, she's wearing something, she's showing something, she refuse to look. Why should I add it to my preaching and start blasting sisters for dressing? Some of them, they just feel free and they dress that way. I see the way they dress these days. They dress some way. You know, so you just look at it. And if it's going to tempt you, when you see her, hallelujah. Tell someone, say, look somewhere else. Simple. Eh? And sisters, you too. Hallelujah. I didn't say anything. I said the sisters, you too. Hallelujah. Amen. And you too, don't worry the brothers. Hallelujah. Let's move on quickly. Let's stop. Amen. 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 Let's finish it. Okay, now. Numbers 11 and 14. And I think I need to stop here because we have to close. Amen. It's lunchtime.
I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy for me.
You see, it's too heavy for me. I can't carry the burden alone. I need you. Turn to somebody and say, Papa needs you to carry the burden, the burden. I can't do it alone. I can't care for everybody. I can't love everybody. I need you. And through the sales unit, we can help everybody. We can be there for everybody. We can reach out to everybody. And a pastor came to see me last week and he said one of his pastors in one of the branches slept with a woman and he was trying to protect him. So he didn't tell the church and he kept it quiet and transferred him. And when he was transferred, instead of him to keep quiet and behave himself, he rather divided the church and carried people with him and started his own church. And me too, I've done that several times. I've covered people several times. I won't tell the church and I'll give them a new assignment. And I stopped. So I said, you should have discredited him. And he said, how do you do? I said, come before the church and say, by the grace of God, I have a special announcement for you. Pastor so-so and so-and-so has misbehaved. Slept with somebody, so we are disciplining him. I said, if you have discredited him, he wouldn't have broken away and taken the people. I have people. It has happened to me in this church. People do things. I cover them. Then they will go into the congregation and get people to sponsor, and people will follow them. Congregation members, they are not correct. Oh. Did I say that? Hey. Don't mind me. But you know I love you, okay? But that's congregation members. They follow gifts and anointings and not relationship. They can. There are people who can. They've known me for years. They can walk away from me right now. Eh? God forbid it will never happen. But Oboda is my son. If Oboda decides, stand. God forbid it will never happen. If Oboda decides he's leaving action today, some of you will follow him. Yeah. Some of you follow him based on sympathy. Oh, Mobo. Oh, he's been loyal to Papa. He's been here all these years. How can Papa do that to him? He's offended. Let's go and help him. Let's follow. You follow. cheap. It will never happen. I mean, me and him, we've come too long. We've come too far. Yeah, there's no need for that. At this age with gray hair, what are you following? Yeah, I have to give you some yombo. Yeah, but we need a team. These are not days to break away. These are days to come together. Amen. All right. Okay. Let me stop here.